Local for helping us keep being a local radio station and doing what we do. Our advertisers, our listeners, we love what we do. We appreciate you helping us do that. Thanks to all the guests we had this week, and a shout out to you, Terry. Thanks so much for the time.
You bet.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Morning Show. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. After more than 3 long years, the global COVID health emergency is finally over. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has our top story.
The World Health Organization says while the pandemic is not over, it no longer qualifies as an emergency. The announcement marks a symbolic end to the pandemic that has killed at least 7 million people worldwide. The head of the agency says he would not hesitate to reconvene experts to reassess the situation if a COVID resurgence once again puts the world in peril. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
Title 42, the pandemic-era policy that allows the government to turn away migrants over COVID concerns, will expire next week. Border officials are bracing for as many as 10,000 crossings every day. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is in Texas.
El Paso County Judge Ricardo Samaniego says the federal help isn't enough, and the governor doesn't coordinate.
Are you getting any help from the state?
That's the missing component. If we don't do this properly, it's going to impact the entire nation.
Despite bank failures, rising interest rates, and inflation, the U.S. jobs market is still booming. The Labor Department says employers added a better than expected 253,000 positions last month. Unemployment fell to 3.4%, tying a record low set in 1969. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This report likely adds credence to the Federal Reserve's decision to raise interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point.
The Dow is up 441 points right now. Collective relief in Davis, California, after police arrested a suspect in a series of stabbings near the State College campus, two of them deadly. Police Chief Darren Pytel.
Title 42, the pandemic era policy.
That is not Darren Pytel, but this is.
We believe that all three are connected, and we have evidence and information that they are, and that we have one person responsible.
He says they found 21-year-old Carlos Dominguez, a former UC Davis student, at a local park with a large hunting-style knife in his backpack. This busy summer travel season's approaching, and the FAA is opening what it calls highways in the sky to speed things up. But one tracking site finds 76% of flyers are still worried about delays and cancellations. CBS's Chris Van Cleve from LAX.
I'm on a wing and a prayer.
Sherry Eisenman is so concerned about her 3-week trip to Ireland in June, she's not even checking a bag.
I really believe it's just kind of 50-50.
Last summer, more than 45,000 flights were canceled.
This is CBS News, and the Dow's up 408.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug. Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place rankings, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
I'm James, senior apparel designer. And this is Behind the Design with Blue Ranchwear. This is your true, unfiltered Western brand. There's a beauty in the simplicity of the product to be able to move, but still have that classic Western sensibility. Rigid out of the box, you put on your back and it just wears with you. Year after year of wearing the product, so it just becomes yours. Blue Ranchwear, only at Boot Barn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 64, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 51. Scattered thunderstorms again, tomorrow high of 66, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 49.
Good morning.
You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 5th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And part two today at 10:30, we're going to talk with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We got some of the cast of The Curious Savage, along with director Stephanie, joining us. Going to go ahead and talk about that. Looking forward to it. Right now on the phone, our good friend, Representative Scott Krug, joining us. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm squeezing this in today. We had a pretty busy week, so I'm getting all caught up from everything. So I'm glad we were able to make this work today.
Yeah, I got to do this, Scott. I got to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit here. We weren't sure if Scott was going to be able to join us because he had a meeting that was planned for yesterday, and you and your team over there had a backup and then a backup to that backup, and I really appreciate that, man. You guys go above and beyond like a lot of our representatives do around here, and we really appreciate that. There are plenty of times where people have to cancel, and we're kind of like left here, you know, figuring it out. I appreciate that you guys do that. A couple of those ideas you had, by the way, between us, I really want to do those. I think they're really good ideas.
So I am one of the, for really lifting the curtain, just for people to know, is one of the things we were thinking about was introducing my newest staff person to the audience. So Marina Olenek is our new, when you call the office, she'll be the main point of contact. So Marina's been with us about 6-7 weeks. She's originally from Ukraine. And she is just, I mean, I can't wait to introduce her to everybody in the show here. So hopefully when it gets past state budget time here, we can kind of get you introduced to Marina so you can put a face to the name, so to speak, on radio, however you do that.
Yes. Looking forward to that.
She got a great story that she could tell. So
That's going to be a really fun conversation. We're looking forward to that, Scott. And again, thank you to you, your team over there. You guys do a great job. We appreciate it. I don't know if this is rude or not, Scott. Well, wait a minute. First, I wanted to get to, where are you calling us from?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So I'm on my way down to Castle Rock Lake, got some real estate stuff. So I'm sitting at the corner of 13 and 21 at the Quick Trip down in Friendship. So
right on. Scott, I don't know if this is rude or unclassy of me to do this. I don't know how this works necessarily. I'm not as political savvy as some people. Is it cool if I bring up another person's bill to you? Is that rude? Is that like wearing the concert of another band when you go see a different band or something at a show? I'm teasing.
Okay, right. So I've never gone to a concert and worn the T-shirt of the band I'm going to see.
Yeah,
I think that's weirder. So that's
it's
right.
Weird.
Yeah,
it's weird.
All good.
I'm 100% with you on that. It's weird. I actually, and in all truthfulness, I think that this is something that is similar to stuff we've talked about before, and it is a bipartisan bill. I bring it up because it kind of broke overnight a little bit. The story kind of broke yesterday, and I personally was able to hear more about it yesterday, late last night. And I do think it carries some important information. I'm talking about the U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Rick Scott introducing this bipartisan legislation to promote transparency online and support Made in America goods and companies. The Cool Online Act updates our labeling laws for the online era. For those that don't know, it is mandatory when you walk into a store that it says on there, made in such and such. But online, it is not a mandatory thing. I think that's news to a lot of people, including myself. It's been in the last 24 hours, I learned that. I tend to be a pretty informed person. I love learning. So my brain's got a ton of useless knowledge up there. But one of the things I didn't have was this. So part of the reason I wanted to bring it up was to make this more common knowledge so people understand that. But also, I wanted to get your take on this. Where are you coming in on this? And did you hear about this bill behind the scenes a little bit, too, as I know you and your colleagues talk a lot?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that's been out there for quite a few years. So, I mean, it's going to take some bipartisan effort to get something like this done because, you know, back in the day, back when Walmart was first kind of being a big thing, you used to be able to go to Walmart and know that everything that Walmart procured was mostly made in the United States, right? I mean, that was their thing, right?
Yeah.
So now you walk into a Walmart or you buy off an Amazon site, I mean, 90% of what you're buying is made in China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever it's worth. I mean, I think the biggest reason behind a bill like this is to help people understand that smart consumers can bring back American manufacturing on their own. I mean, that's the biggest need we have right now is to create manufacturing jobs and be able to create things here in the United States, here in Wisconsin, here in Wisconsin Rapids. And smart consumers are going to be behind making those choices to start bringing back those manufacturers and being able to make things here in the United States by just making better choices. So I you know, whether they still want to, you know, consume the goods they do or not, that's fine. Just, you know, making people aware is actually going to end up helping every manufacturer in the state and the country.
One of the things that if our listeners don't do it, I tend to do is kind of look at the other side of things, take the other angle on stuff oftentimes, because I just, you know, it's part of the conversation. It's part of how we do this and everything, interviewing and all that. But with this one, I'm having a hard time seeing the negative. Like, have you heard any pushback on this? Has there been anybody saying, no, this would be a bad thing or anything? Because I can't see the negative in it.
You know, I would imagine there would probably be some of the bigger online retailers who think it might hurt their business, but, you know, in the end, it'll end up not being a big deal. I mean, Amazon will probably come out and say, well, we don't want to have to do more disclosure stuff on our website. It clogs up our, you know, there's always going to be a lobbyist somewhere in the halls of Washington or in the halls of Madison that's going to come in and say, well, my benefactor doesn't want this, so we'll come and talk to legislators about it. So there's always somebody.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right about that. Yeah, I don't know how you necessarily fix something like that either, but it is a little disheartening to hear that. But I think that overall, it's something that we're going to see go forward. I can't see this getting. You mentioned it takes years for this to build, and I think that's always important to note when it comes to things like this, because I got to think, you survey 20 people, you're going to get 20 people that'll say that, yeah, I want to know where my product is coming from, whether they want to buy American or not. I would think that most people wouldn't want to know that. But that doesn't mean that it's just going to happen overnight. The bill's just going to go ahead and get taken forward. It's important to understand how these things, the process of these things go. You and I have talked about this many times. I think that we'd have much more people voting, and we would have better voters if we made it more mandatory that, hey, you need to know how this system works, how a bill is passed, like certain things. Do you know that there are three branches of government? Can you name them? Can you, you know, these little things that we learn in grade school that we seem to forget sometimes as we get older?
Well, things that we used to learn, and that's another whole story, but yes, you are right. But, I mean, it brings up a great point of even the things we're working on this week that kind of put this conversation in jeopardy was something that's taken 20 years for us to deal with at the state level. So, I mean, it's a good segue into some of these things that, you know, take almost a generation to figure out. So this budget cycle, we've really worked on finding consensus on our shared revenue plan, where communities across the state collect taxes, right? And they have to send a portion out to the state. It gets divvied up by a formula. And usually the more rural and smaller cities and villages of the state kind of lose out in that formula. So we've finally have figured out a way to revamp their shared revenue model that every municipality in the state of Wisconsin can be a winner. And that's what it takes to get a bill done, is to find winners and winners instead of winners and losers. Because when we start talking about creating potential losers, you lose votes. So that's what, you know, the bill in Washington you're talking about doing is creating winners, and this bill that we're working on in shared revenue is creating the same thing here in Wisconsin.
I saw this growing up a lot in Illinois, and I imagine that most states in the union have this issue where, you know, most people understand Illinois is almost two states. You've got Southern Illinois and you've got Northern Illinois, and they're two very different areas. And oftentimes in Springfield, you would have these two worlds collide, and sometimes it seemed like they were doing just things for Chicago that didn't really apply in Suki, you know, or in Southern Illinois, and vice versa and stuff. Getting that balance down for states, I understand America's a young country, but we've also been doing this a while. Isn't that negotiating? Like, because that's a big part of what politics is, whether we like to call it that or not, is negotiating. And these things like, hey, here's a bill that's going to help these people, here's a bill that's going to help these people, and kind of doing the best we can with that model.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's, you know, everything in politics is sales. I mean, if you haven't, you know, spent any time doing any sales or negotiating, then you're not going to be great in politics, because that's what it is. It's whether it's a trade-off on this bill or a trade-off down the road, it's a lot like the NFL draft or working as a GM of a sports team. I'll take a player to be named later if you can give me this now.
Scott, don't do it. Don't bring up the draft. All we'll talk about is the draft the next 20 minutes, and I know you got more important things to talk about. I'll do it.
Yeah, right? But I always go back to it. I mean, sports are always a great analogy, and yeah, this is no different, where you get what you can when you can and know that the timing's right to make a move, and you pull the trigger. So, I mean, that's where we're at right now, especially when we have some money that we need to do some things with instead of letting it sit in the bank account of the state. You know, we're going to do tax cuts because that's where the surplus comes from, is we collect too much in taxes. So after we fund all our priorities and we have the surplus we need to deal with, then let's start revamping the things that we used to do, whether it's shared revenue to make sure that our towns and counties and municipalities all have the money they need to do their road repairs, to fund their, you know, local projects. I mean, whatever it may be, that's what the shared revenue stuff is for. And then, you know, we start figuring out what's left even after that. So now, this plan in particular, we're going to take 1 cent of the state sales tax, so 20% of it overall, and send it back to every municipality in the state of Wisconsin for them to make their own decisions with. And I think that's just the brilliant idea. And it's actually, for Adams County, even where I represent on the county board, it's going to equate a 2,000% increase in our shared revenue for Adams County. I mean, it's just an amazing idea that we've put together that both sides have agreed on. And I know the governor's not quite completely there yet, but I'm sure we'll get him there with some tweaks and conversation and negotiation.
When it comes to negotiating, when it comes to some of these bills, one of the concerns I think that many I've heard from listeners, I've seen stories about, is the last couple of elections we've had, there have been bills that have been proposed to help schools. Overwhelmingly, we've seen most of those bills not pass. There's a deep concern right now with our education system, especially some of our rural communities that are having a hard time literally keeping the lights on at schools. I can't think of many more ridiculous things that happen in America than us not taking care of our schools. For those that don't know, just to catch you up on this, that's who's taking over. That's the future. Like, if we're not keeping them educated, if we're not, we've seen the test scores, we've heard a lot of complaints about those things in Wisconsin, but I don't see anybody putting in any work into the, or any money into these schools. I see a lot of people pointing fingers, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of people actually giving up their tax dollars or these kind of things to make these schools better, to help these teachers, help these educators out. Are you seeing, where are you falling on that? Because I know you don't agree with me.
So we've made historic investments in K-12 each of the last three budgets.
Oh, I should be more specific, Scott. I'm talking about like the more rural bills, like for particular schools. I'm not talking about like state budgets or state bills or that kind of thing.
So, and another example is just down here, Adams Friendship Way. There was just a $4 million operating referendum that was passed by the voters. I mean, so. Yes, I get where you see the stories and you hear the news about it, but, you know, I think voters all have the right to make their choices, and I know sometimes it's tough for them to want to spend more money on it, but that's what we've left in place, is that option for them to make those choices to make bigger investments. For the most part, 90% of the time they pass every referendum that comes up, so I'm...
I'm not using this data from a story I read. I'm using my own eyes. Okay. I'm from what I'm seeing, and I'm not seeing a lot of these bills. For every four bills that are proposed, one of them is passing. And in the last two election cycles, this is what we've seen in local voting. I'm not talking again about the state budget or anything like that.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to know which ones aren't working.
Sure, sure. And maybe we could talk about, maybe this is part one of a part two conversation. We could talk more about this the next month when we get together again.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll, yeah, it'll be a lot more settled where everything is as far as, you know, the entirety of the state budget. And that'll be the biggest portion that'll get done last, is figuring out what gaps exist and how to fill them and make sure that our achievement and our scores and our accountability all match the money that we're putting into everything. So I think we've had some pretty good agreement in the last few years on making sure that we do everything we need for the tech schools and for the universities on top of it. And we're on it. I think it's a finger on the pulse type of thing, staying in connection with our local districts too and talking through some of the things they're dealing with. I've got a lot of smaller school districts, you know, the Wild Roses, the Almond Bancroft, the Adams Friendship, all of the smallest of the small districts, and it's relatively peaceful right now. So I I'm hopeful we'll keep finding ways to help them with their priorities.
Only have so much time, so just to keep things moving, I wanted to make sure we touched on this. You have Assembly Bill 24, as you have commented. It's a good common sense bill. I want to talk about what this bill is to those that don't know and why it's important.
No, I lost you for a second there. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't know if I... It's your bill, so for a second there, I'm like, did I give him a stumper? Did I...
No.
I don't like to do the gotcha questions and everything. I didn't think I got you on that. We just have a connection issue, yeah. Can we tell people what this common sense bill is?
Yeah, and this one is super simple. I mean, this is one where, you know, we're talking about, okay, schools, if you don't already do this, which most, I would think, do, we want you to be able to post information for students to be able to see that'll help them understand that if they're a victim of child abuse or neglect, that there's an avenue for them to report it or an avenue for them to get some help to be able to talk to somebody. So what AB 24 does just requires school districts to post this information in the school building somewhere. And the genesis for this thing was a little interesting, too, is because I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, I passed a resolution that just made June papermaking month in the state of Wisconsin, just one of those weird little things we do. And Nakusa High School actually took a copy of that resolution and posted it on the wall of their school building. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. You know, they're paying attention to what we do. They, have ways to get information out. So then somebody else had come to us and said, well, if schools are watching and listening and you guys can tell them what to do, why don't we make them post different things like this? I'm like, wow, that's a great idea. You know, one of the challenges we have yet, though, is there's not like a, like when you had Terry on where there's a 211 number for all of these types of things. There isn't necessarily, for these posters in every community, a centralized number. So we said in the bill, all right, whatever local number you use that can connect somebody to a local resource, you go ahead and use whatever you think is best. We didn't demand that we create a new number or anything that's easy to remember. So it might be a little wonkiness in there for people to know in their heads that, hey, if I need to call something, this is the easy number to call instead of trying to think of 424-819 whatever. But I think the overall point of the bill is just to make sure that kids know that they're not alone, that they're not isolated, that if they're a victim of these things, there is an outlet they can talk to somebody who they can then trust that'll help them. So I think that's the whole reason behind this bill is just it's a common sense thing that just gives people a little extra added support.
Of all the things that we have talked about, Scott, going back to the Made in America kind of, or that cool bill about the knowing where things are located when you buy them and that kind of thing online, I got to think this is one of the more easier kind of like, 100% of the vote, everybody's in with this one. Getting this information, making sure it's that available for kids. Again, what are we doing if we're not protecting kids? What are we doing if it isn't about kids and the youth and everything? It seems pretty explanatory.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this bill, again, it's a bipartisan, bicameral bill. There's Republicans and Democrats signed on to in both houses. I mean, that kind of makes it one of those slam dunk things once it gets through the legislature that the governor will say, okay, you all agree on it, so let's just do it. So that's all of the work that we do is so front end dominated, right? You want to make sure you've got the right mix of co-sponsors, the right mix of people from different houses. So yesterday we had a big announcement on our first set of election bills that we're actually going to get out as well. So we did a press conference, and if anybody picks up the State Journal today, you'll get to see a bipartisan, bicameral group of legislators working on election integrity bills. I mean, it didn't get much better than that. So if you find the right people and you find the right issues and you do this at the right time, anything is possible. So to sit here and tell you that 3 years ago, I would have thought that we would have had bipartisan, bicameral agreement on election integrity. It would have blown people's minds, right? Yeah. I mean, now it's something that is a reality because we've taken the time to do the work to get ready to do more work. So, behind the scenes, this is a bigger and bigger and bigger thing that brews besides the headline of the bill title that comes out.
One of the things I know that you have been putting a lot of time into recently is the bill to help local control on solar projects. I wanted to give you a moment to talk about that and the importance of it.
Yeah, this one is came out of nowhere, right? So this bill was around last session and didn't much go anywhere. And of course, I've been hearing for years, you know, because of all of the CAFO stuff in Saratoga that turned into the solar power, the solar panel stuff, people were upset because of the process. So currently, if you're a municipal or utility-owned company wants to put in a solar array somewhere, there really is no local input. It just goes to the PSC. If you buy the land and the PSC, it's good. Doesn't matter what the local government says, it gets cited. So that's what we have now in Saratoga, over here in Wautoma, over up by Plover, all of these thousands of acres of solar projects going in without local input. So this bill says, okay, we're going to do this, but we're going to allow these to happen on a smaller scale, because if the utilities get this process, then why shouldn't an individual farmer, say, somewhere in the middle of Washera County, be able to rent out 40 acres of his land to a private developer that wants to put in a solar field and get subscribers for solar power and make it market-driven and require that every town approves it by a two-thirds majority vote? So it's best of both worlds. It's a big local control bill, and it's also a expansion of solar power using the private sector and giving farmers or, you know, anti-school buildings or whatever it may be, the ability to create these arrays that you don't need to be a municipal-owned utility or utility-owned company to put in a big solar panel project. So it captures both sides of the aisle again, because we have a lot of, you know, clean energy folks who really want to see the expansion of solar power happen in the state of Wisconsin. We have a lot of the conservative folks who want to see more private investment into this and a government investment into it. So when you craft all those details out of those overarching arguments, you end up with a lot of co-sponsors from both sides of the aisle again. So I think that's kind of the exciting thing here, is that we can expand on solar power and clean energy jobs and the opportunities that exist with that, and give people a lot more control over the process.
It feels like another layup. You know, with the bipartisanism of it, with the combination that you mentioned there, it does feel like another layup, and a good thing for this, because this is not promoting solar power. It's just trying to give people a little more control in the, you know, placement of it and those things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's something we're not going to see more argument about, a 3,000-acre solar panel array and people being upset because it ate up all the local farmland. Well, if it eats up these projects we're talking about, are 20 to 40 acres, not 3,000 acres. So if a farmer wants to use his back 40 that isn't very productive and he wants to create an income stream, then why shouldn't we let him work with a private investor to create a power ability for local neighborhoods to subscribe to? So I think, you know, like I said, all of these bipartisan things, when they get to this point, they get easy, but the work behind them to get them started is what is the biggest struggle. And this bill in particular, I wasn't even a co-sponsor of it last year, because it didn't really resonate with me. So as these things sit around, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, as they marinate for a while, then legislators start thinking more and more about them, and then they pick up steam and they get done. So it's all that sausage-making process, all goes into all of these things we talked about today that are, you know, behind the scenes labor-intensive, but in front of the camera is easy to describe.
We usually wrap up talking a little bit of Brewers. We don't have to do that, though.
They haven't won in May yet.
So we'll just keep it moving. But I did want to mention that you were recently at the Posters and Rotunda event at UWSP. How did that go?
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I love when the college kids are coming down to Madison talking about their projects, talking about things that they want to advocate for in their campuses. So we've had a lot of students that came in from UWSP talking about some of the projects they're working on for their undergrad, and some grad students nowadays talking about things that are way over my head that I'll probably hardly ever understand. But it's nice to be able to get a good grasp of their excitement about learning and how they go about, you know, securing funds for their future projects. And this thing has actually grown into something much bigger. So now we have students from all over the state that are not just coming down for Posters on the Rotunda, but they've been so involved with us over the years that their campuses are bringing them down just to advocate for most any other thing. So we just had a group in this week from UW Oshkosh talking about things on their campus, and had a chance to visit the campus this week in Oshkosh, and I mean, it's great to see all these future leaders take an interest in what we do in Madison, and they've been coming on droves this budget session, which is a welcome change from seeing them versus seeing all the lobbyists.
Scott, we appreciate the time, as always, especially how hard you work to get on the air with us. Thank you for that. If people have follow-up questions, want to ask you stuff or talk about some of the things we have, how can they reach you?
Yeah, easy. Cell phone's always on. 715-323-3293.
You have a good weekend. We'll talk again next month. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the time. Representative Scott Krug, a Wisconsin Assembly District 72 representative, joining us. He'll be back with us next month. Right now, we're going to move out of the way and bring in the King from WRCT. They are coming in to talk about The Curious Savage that is premiering tonight. We'll be talking with them when we come back on Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
To everyone who craves a handcrafted treat, let our team member Sephora tell you about a Culver's favorite.
We make our thick and creamy fresh frozen custard in small batches all throughout the day. And we mean all day, every day. From our supremely rich shakes and concrete mixers to our freshly scooped dishes and cones, we handcraft every bite to pure perfection.
Come to Culver's and get a taste of our fresh frozen custard.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fridays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Wisconsin Rapids Bike Rodeo and Safety Fair will be taking place at the Grand Rapids Lions Club grounds Saturday, May 6th. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Open to all area children grades K through 6, the event will include free helmet fittings and bike safety inspections, a passport to safety, and a chance to win a free bike. All children must bring their own bicycle for the event and be accompanied by an adult. Lunch will be provided. St. Bronislava Holy Name Society's All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast will be held Sunday, May 7th from 8:30 a.m. to noon at St. Bronislava Catholic Church, located at 3200 Plover Road in Plover.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 64, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 51. Scattered thunderstorms again, tomorrow, high of 66, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 5th, 2023, 10:33 on the clock, and you got your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We are joined right now by some wonderful people of ours, some great friends of ours. We have Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's gang in for The Curious Savage. I want to let you guys all introduce yourselves. We have director Stephanie here. I'll start with you, Steph.
I'm Stephanie.
Hello. Oh, whoa. Sorry about that. I thought I hit those. Yeah.
I'm Stephanie. Hello. I'm the director.
Thanks, Steph. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Go to you next. Is it Jane? It's Jane, isn't it?
It's Heidi.
Heidi.
Nope. I'm Heather, and I play Florence in the play.
Good to see you, Heather. Thanks for being here. Always good to see you. Appreciate it. You guys, mind going first? Dick, I'll start with you.
Okay, I'm Dick, and I play Dr. Emmett in the play.
Always good to see you, Dick. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Enjoy it.
And I'm Andy, and I play Jeff.
Andy, good to see you again. Thanks for being here. And thank you guys so much. Not only certainly for being here today and putting up with me, but for all the work that you have done up until this point to do this show. I know it better than most out there, and I appreciate all the work that you guys have put in to entertain this community, to help local theater, to help local, to help WRCT. It's greatly appreciated. Let's start off with that right away. Thank you for the work that you guys have put into this. Let's get into the show, Stephanie, because I think I've read the script before, and when I saw that WRCT was doing it and I saw you were directing, I'm like, Steph's never directed me. I want her to direct me. I was all gung-ho to direct, to audition and everything. Obviously, I work way too much. But I do know the script a little bit, and I think it's a fun script, but I don't know if it's commonly known. Can we give people a little bit of a synopsis of the show?
Yeah, so I first read the script back in high school, so it's been a favorite of mine ever since. And there's a older woman whose husband passed, and her three stepchildren are extremely greedy, and she was left with a ton of money. They want that money, so she's trying to give it away to foolish causes, so to speak, and they don't like that. So they put her basically in a mental hospital to, you know, make her come to her senses, and then she meets these other people who live in the home and kind of learns, like, they're an actual family. They actually mm-hmm. support each other and take care of each other, where her actual family could care less. But it sounds really serious. It's got a lot of humor in it. We've added a lot of funny parts. It's made it funnier than I even thought it was. But there's still a lot of sweet, tender moments. And I just love the show. The characters always stood out to me. And just the combination of, you know, the savages versus the Cloister family.
With a subject like this, I think that it's all the more credit to the writer, the original script, mm-hmm. and then whoever interprets that script, the cast, the director, and all that, to find those funny moments.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And it just in what you told us right there, that you had some moments that you didn't even plan on mm-hmm. when you were first doing this. Is that one of your favorite parts of directing?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the director. You know, the director mm-hmm. knows the show, they know the characters, mm-hmm. and then when they give those characters to real people, those real people eventually should know their characters even better than I do, you mm-hmm. know? And they've been putting little nuances and little quirks and things that, like, that's good. Or even something I'll pop up with, you know, like, hey, let's try this. And then it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, great, let's do it some more.
Right. Let's thank you for that, Steph. Mm-hmm. Nice job. Let's go ahead and let you guys tell us a little bit about your characters. Heather, I'm going to put you on the spot and go to you first.
Okay.
You do have a little experience with me, so
a
I mean, it's
bit, a yeah. I play Florence. I am more like the mother of the group. I protect everybody. I really protect Fairy. I make sure Jeff is comfortable, and you know, and make sure Hannibal is okay. But I more or less just make sure everybody minds their P's and Q's and doesn't step on each other's toes. And I'm very protective of everybody in the home. So I'm actually in the mental institution.
Gotcha.
Too. So which fits me very, very
oh,
well.
Oh, really?
As you know, as you know.
Way to go against yeah. type. Way to no. That's awesome.
I didn't even have to audition. Steph just said, here. No, I'm kidding. I did audition.
Dick, your character?
Yes, I play Dr. Emmett, who works at the home. And it's a very interesting character. I'm like the straight man. I mean, this is a cast of 10 other actors, and they're all very strong personalities and quirks and everything. And I'm the straight man, and I love it. I feed Good. Into them, and I keep an eye on them, and I am enjoying the character a lot.
It's fun to get to do that, to be the straight man sometimes. I wasn't born with a funny bone, so I tend to be the straight man in most bits and everything like that. It's a gift. It's such a joy to be able to, you almost have the best seat in the house sometimes.
Oh, definitely. I agree.
That's cool. And Andy, can you tell us a little bit about your character?
So again, I play Jeff, and I'm one of the residents of the group home. Jeff is affected by kind of a war trauma. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly PTSD, because that's not really funny, but Jeff's character is kind of funny, and he's just kind of high strung and believes he has a scar on his face, so constantly I have to cover the side of my face. So that's a challenge, and it's fun, though. It's fun to play the character.
It was a fun challenge. Good to hear. I think one of the best things about a good play, especially just art in general, I don't care if we're talking about a painting or a script or anything like that, is being able to take a heavy topic and find the funny. I think that it is, well, it goes back to having a court jester. The reason we had court jesters was to make sure that the king and queen were on the same level as the other people and everything like that. Comedy is the great equalizer. It's also a healing thing. And I think when it comes to subject matter, oftentimes that's what really helps, but that's on the page. It's still got to be brought to life. When it came to bringing these characters to life, it sounds like there was a lot of enjoyment to that. How has that gone? And are you, as tonight is opening night and everything, how are you feeling about that? Heather, again, start with you. I'll just kind of do this as we go along here.
I'm loving it. I think that it's going fabulously. We had a dress rehearsal last night, which I thought went without a hitch. I mean, I know what I did was wrong, but nobody else did. So that's the whole glory of that. I'm thinking it's going. I love the cast. I mean, I've worked with Chris before, but nobody else. So it's been great to make some new friends.
Mm-hmm. How about you guys? Dick, I'll start with you.
And last night with that preview show, we had about 20 people there, mm-hmm. which was great because you can relate to this. We've been rehearsing for 7 weeks with no audience, mm-hmm. with nobody responding to our humor and laugh. Those 20 people were awesome last night, and they really have me excited. I think tonight is going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's good to hear it. I can feel it from you, Dick. That's mm-hmm. awesome. That's great. Andy?
Well, this is my second time doing this mm-hmm. with WRCT in particular. And I don't know, I'm experiencing a great sense of pride having accomplished it. I feel like it's ready. I think it's been ready since Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited to show it off.
That's very, very cool to hear, Andy. Proud of you, awesome of you to do this, to jump into this thing with all these crazy people and all that, and it's wonderful, and we appreciate you doing that. You both touched on a note there that I thought was important, and it's interesting, too, when we talk about acting, you don't hear this very often, pride. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to think that there's nothing but egos and divas in acting and all that, and I think that the majority of us would be able to tell you, and I know for my personal experience, I've met a handful of divas in my life, whether it's professional actors or it is community theater actors. For the most part, it's a team, and most people get that, and we don't often get a chance, especially in the middle of a run, to take any pride in the work we're doing, but that's an important part of this. You should take some pride, and you should feel good about it, and it's also helpful for your character because it helps you believe your character a little mm-hmm. bit more, which helps the audience believe it a little bit more. And I like to hear that. That's very cool. I appreciate, Dick, you mentioning and Stephanie touched on this too, a bit of the rehearsal process. I want to touch on that before we go to break. How often did you guys rehearse, Steph, and for how long?
Auditions were beginning of March, and then we've rehearsed Monday through Thursday pretty much since mid-March, end of March. So Monday through Thursday, we had one Saturday rehearsal, but that was it. So,
and since none of you have a life, you're all retired, you had time to do that. No, of course, you guys got lives. You got other things going on and everything. And well, of course, you're paid so well for. Oh, wait, that's right. It's community theater. Nobody's paid. So I always like to bring this up to note how much we are spoiled in this area, gratefully, when it comes to theater and it comes to local people being on that stage and putting of their time, their efforts into these projects, putting their blood, sweat, and tears into these things. Hopefully, it encourages you not only to see these, but maybe attend some and maybe be a part of these shows. We want you to be a part of these. That's the most beautiful part about this whole experience, is that while you got some people up there that obviously have some skill and done this before, you got new people all the time. You got new blood and all this that we get to bring in. And once you are in a part of theater, you are not leaving. There is no leaving theater. Once you get your foot in the wind, you know, you're stuck. Andy understands this now. He's on his second show in and he gets it. I appreciate that we can take a moment to talk about that. I did want to also mention the rest of the cast, but I'm looking at break. It's right around the corner here. So let's get to the break so we can come back and just go right to the top of the hour. And we'll do that with our friends from the WRCT current production of The Curious Savage that is premiering tonight at 5 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock over at the WRCT Theater. We'll give you more details when we come back on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fridays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gina Beau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor. Sir, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 64, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tonight scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 51. Cloudy skies expected, tomorrow scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 53.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We have the cast of The Curious Savage, the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's latest production and their final main stage production of the season. Looking forward to talking with the cast more about this show. And actually, before we get into some of the details of the rest of the cast members, times, dates, that kind of important information, I did want to piggyback off of something Dick had mentioned. During the rehearsal process, You're trying to make your fellow castmates laugh, trying to entertain people, make your director laugh. And you, when you have a good director like Stephanie and stuff, she's encouraging and going to give you laughter where you need it and those kind of things. Because for an actor on stage, everything is about timing and keeping that flow of a show going. It's a living organism. It is a creature that is alive, and we are trying to keep it alive and keep it healthy and keep it moving as it's going along. But it's very hard to do that when you don't know when people are going to laugh. Exactly. And every show I've ever been in, and I guarantee you guys have been in, people will laugh at something you had no idea they were going to laugh at. Knowing when to talk, when to jump in, it's a key part of what we do with the live experience. Having that, those 20-some people, having that preview show is very key to helping you guys when it comes to go time. But with that all being said, as I mentioned, there's going to be things that the audience is going to laugh at that you never planned for and that kind of thing. When it comes to that dance, how comfortable do you feel with it? And is it something that you enjoy about the process, or is it one of those things that you like, oh, I always got my you know, kind of third eye open waiting for that? Heather, you're, I don't want to say you're new to this because you've been doing it a little while now.
Was my first one.
Right. But I'm saying in the sense of you've been familiar with theater for a while. So this is your second show. Are you getting the hang of that? Are you enjoying that part of the process?
Yeah. I mean, getting the hang of it, no, because like you said, people laugh when you don't expect them to. So for me, it's like if they laugh right before one of my lines, I have to try to remember what my line is while I'm waiting for them to stop laughing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just remember when your lines are. So, but yeah, I love the fact that they're laughing, because last night, like Dick said, it was wonderful to have a live audience, you know.
It's an interesting thing that I don't think anybody, if you haven't experienced, if you haven't done theater before, that you would quite understand, that you would know or anything.
Yeah, it's like I typically direct children, and it's it's hard for anyone to learn, like, because you get into that flow or you get into that, you know, rhythm of the lines, and then you have to stop and you have to kind of hang out and then continue with that rhythm. So that's a hard thing to break when you get in that habit, you know. But again, it's that laughter from the audience, the applause, it's that instant gratification, you know, that you're, that obviously what we've been practicing for and what we've been rehearsing to give the audience, to make them laugh, you know. So my biggest thing is pause for laughs.
That's awesome. Dick, how about it for you?
Yeah, well, definitely, because, and Stephanie was reinforcing that the last two, 3 nights. Mm-hmm. Pause for laughter. Okay, whatever.
It's hard to anticipate laughter.
Last night it came true. They laughed at things that we thought were probably not funny, and they were laughing at it, and that is so rewarding.
Yeah. Andy, how about you?
Well, the experience for me, again, only having done this a second time now, is it's interesting to read the lines, memorize the lines, and perform them in front of the director, and not really realize that they're supposed to be funny until at one point you finally perform it and it is funny. You may get a laugh, or it just clicks, like, oh wow, that is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Even it's mild humor, you know, it's not a crude humor in this show, so it's kind of light, I would say, but it is funny. There's a lot of moments.
A lot of physical humor, a lot of dialogue. I mean, there's some little jabs at certain characters that Mrs. Savage likes to poke fun at her stepchildren, and you know, they try to take all day for sure.
Steph, this next question is just between you and I, okay? It's just you and me, nobody else. Because I wanted to ask you this actually off air. I actually wanted to, I was curious of running into you, and just out of curiosity.
You were curious, Savage?
I was, you might say.
Good.
Trying to tee you up here. You knocked it out the park. You mentioned you know Steph along with Gretchen, some of the founders of Hope Productions. One of my favorite things in this community always has been since the moment I heard about it. I think it's one of the cooler things we offer in this community. And again, shout out to you and Gretch for the idea and what you guys accomplished with that. You mentioned you usually do direct kids and everything. Who is more harder to rally in, kids or adults?
Well, it's different because I have kids that are, I have about 40 of them. Mm-hmm. This show only has 11, which according to Main Stage, that's a huge cast. And to me, that's funny because I work with 40 to 50 kids.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, but it really depends because it's a fine line. Let's just say that. There's a few times. There's a few times where I had to separate some actors. I'm like, do I have to separate you? I'll talk to them like they're five. I don't care.
It's a true story.
Dick was one of them. I had to separate from Tim quite often.
I love the idea of at one point Steph just being frustrated. You know what, Dick? Time out. Yep. You're in time out. Pretty much. I'm joking a little bit, but in all seriousness, it had to have been a fun challenge for you. Knowing creatively that you like a good challenge, how did that go for you, the difference of the two?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when I do my children's show, we literally do it in a week. Mm-hmm. So this was like, I have all this time. At first I was like, why don't I even need, but this is a lot longer show. There's a lot more, you know, little things throughout that, not that my kids' shows aren't hard or realistic, but we kind of go on a heightened, there's fairy tales that we can just kind of go whatever, you know, and these are real people on this show, you know, so we have to make them realistic, definitely give them funny little things and quirks because people in real life have funny little quirks, you know, so just making it natural and realistic and relatable has been the difference, really, I think. So yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge to some degree, but it's just been fun, you know, and working with people who have zero theater experience and people who have been doing this for however many years, more than I've been alive probably, you know, so it's just been a really cool combination of that dynamic as well, you know, so yeah.
Thank you for that. I did want to send a quick shout out to the Hopo Productions. They got two of them coming up this
There's a Hopo and there's a children's theater.
Right, sorry, I wanted to but that's important to get the difference of those two in there. So just a shout out to people, keep an eye out for those, you know, especially the kiddos. You want them to audition, you want them to find out more, and especially let me know if you need a Willy Wonka. It's a dream role, Yeah. I'm not going to turn that down.
There's an age limit.
No, come on. I'm an actor, I'm forever 20. That was a long time ago. Let's talk about the rest of the cast, Steph. Let's mention the other people who are in this great production.
Yeah, so besides Andy and Heather, the other people who live in the home, Tim Engeline, I always say his name wrong, I'm sorry.
Me too, I say it wrong too.
He's playing Hannibal, and then Brittany Piddington is brand new to the area, and she's playing Fairy May, which is my role that I've always wanted to play, but she is fantastic. They all are. And then Penny Weiss is playing Mrs. Patty, who is delightful. She's got the best facial reactions to everything, so watch her. We also have two little boys in the show. They are 3 and 4 years old. They're sharing a role. Their names are Rakan and Mason. And then we have Mrs. Savage, of course, who is Christine Sullivan. And our three Savage siblings are Jeff Friday playing Titus, Chris Williams is playing Samuel, and Heidi Schrader, brand new to theater, is playing Lilybell. And then our staff, which is Dr. Emmett, Dick, Antonosia, and then Acacia Landowski is playing Miss Willie or Miss Wilhelmina.
Great cast. You got a nice cast here. Yes. You got a really, no weak links in this one.
No.
It's a really cool thing to be able to offer to the community. And I got to imagine, really fun for all of you. Like, to be able to play with people that have this background, that are able to bring this to the stage, whether new or seasoned. It's got to be a fun time to be able to, it's recess for us in a lot of ways. It's work. You know, there's nobody here in this studio or on that stage that you'll see tonight that didn't put their all their effort and everything into it. It's also recess. It's also fun. And you'll get that feeling from it too. Also like to, before we get to the details of the show, I did want to mention as well, Steph, Dick, and I, we've been doing this a long time, done many shows. There's a lot of seasoned veterans around when it comes to Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. There are also people like Heather, Andy here, who are second, first shows kind of thing. We want to encourage the audience to be a part of these things with us. You don't have to be on the sidelines. You know, you could be in the game on these. If you don't feel comfortable being on stage, that is perfectly fine. We got a billion things for you to do behind the scenes.
I have to, as you're saying that, my stage manager, brand new, it's actually Stephanie Engeline, who has literally never done any theater besides watching shows that her husband has been in and stuff. So I brought her in as stage manager. She's been fantastic as well. She didn't know what I would be like, oh, we got to spike the stage and this and that. She's like, what? So, which is, I have a lot of questions. She goes, I said, great, I work with kids. Questions, come at me with them. So, yeah.
I'm glad you noted that, especially not only does it, add to this point and everything, but it gives me an opportunity to give a shout out to a lot of the directors at WRCT. Mm-hmm. If I have not directed something since, high school or something like that, and when I think about directing, I want to be in control. I want to control this thing as much as I can until it is alive and running on its own and breathing on its own and everything. And you could do that up to, you know, a certain level. When it comes to casting a show, where are my SAG actors? Where are all my pros? I would have a line I'm afraid that would be too much. I admire bringing in new people, being open to do that. It makes a better show. My way would not work with community theater. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be enjoyable for the audience and everything like that. I'm crazy. I'm insane up here. What you guys do, you, others, directors, and we've mentioned them many times, taking chances on people is no different than a casting director in a pro gig that I'm auditioning for and then taking a chance on me. It goes a long way, and I think it's really cool to see that, especially with a stage manager. That is impressive, Stephanie. I think that's really cool. Good on you for doing that.
Well, as I said, we got a brand new stage manager. We got a couple actors who are absolutely brand new to theater as well. We have two little boys who are 3 and 4 years old. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot, yeah. But everything has been working out wonderfully, and I think when you have brand new actors, I think they bring a new sense of, it's a reminder of why you do theater. You know, you see their excitement, you see their reaction to having an audience for the first time, their first time on stage. You know, you get past the nerves and you see that excitement, and it kind of rejuvenates you and makes you like, oh yeah, this is fun. This is a good, you know, this is why I do this.
Real quick, before we give the details and times for this upcoming show, I did want to mention again, Hopo Summer Youth Stage, that's going to be coming up in August, Toasted. They have main stage, WRCT's main stage, is going to have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in July. Those are coming up. And of course, our great friends at the Silver Foxes got a show coming up next month. Be sure to join them for that. And they hit the main stage with Fairy Tale Courtroom. That's June 8th. We'll have some of the cast from Silver Foxes on with us, some of our favorite people. We'll be talking with them next month. But as so we're wrapping up the main stage productions here for WRCT with this show. A great season. Thank you to Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Every person that was on that stage, behind the stage. Shout out to Tim Young and the whole board and everybody else over there. We greatly appreciate the work. Stephanie, it's opening night tonight. And we got more shows after that.
Yes. Yep, so tonight is at 7 p.m., tomorrow night 7 p.m. as well, and then next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all at 7, and also next Saturday is at 2 p.m., so we have a matinee next weekend as well.
We encourage you, you can get tickets right now at wrctheater.org. Go ahead and go there right now, get your tickets. I think it's really cool that you have the layout. Mm-hmm. You can pick where you want to be. You got a group of people you're coming with. You can all be in a similar spot and that kind of thing. Again, wrctheater.org. If you're not able to do that, that's all right. You can get tickets the day of the show right there at the front box office and everything. Encourage you to do that. Buy local, support local, support local arts. Guys, I'm not jealous at all. I swear, I'm not jealous at all. No, have a good run. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun to this community. Go out and support these guys. Enjoy yourselves. Break a leg, everybody.
Thank you. Can I give a real quick shout out? Our set builders and our props people and our costume people, holy cow, this is one, a lot of people have been saying this is one of the better sets they've seen. We have a window seat. We have built-in shelves. Like, it's,
I've heard that.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So come and see it just for that alone.
and us.
Yeah, they're all right, too.
Buy local, support local, support the local arts. The Curious Savage premieres tonight on the WRCT stage. Find out more and get some tickets at www.